This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
So I found that going somewhere new, just people that I didn't know, quite daunting. I did get there in the end. First time I came there, they were just so welcoming and I just felt comfort straight away.
Hello everyone.
Dankaho.
Selamat datang.
Konnichiwa.
Hola.
안녕하세요.
Assalamu alaikum.
And kia ora.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to Connecting Cultures Features, a show by for and about the multicultural people of Dunedin in New Zealand. Today, we're going to talk about GROW, a group that is building a caring and supportive community where people come together each week to talk about their personal growth and mutual support. We have some members with here today, Corinne, Catherine, and also Phil. Let's do a round of introductions so people know who's in the room. Maybe from my right, Corinne.
Hi, kia ora, halo olegeta. My name is Corinne, and I've probably lived in Dunedin for maybe coming up 4 years. Grew up in Auckland, and I started probably at GROW maybe only a year ago.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Corinne. What about you, Phil?
Hi. My name's Phil, and I've been a member of GROW for about 3 years. I first came to Dunedin in 1961, and I've lived here on and off over that period since 1961.
Where were you before?
Sydney.
Oh.
North Shore, Narrabeen North, surfing area.
Yay. So you miss that lifestyle?
I do. I wasn't used to cold when I came here. So I'd never been cold in my life before I got to Dunedin. And but I still have relatives in Sydney and all over Australia, all over, literally. Yeah, so I'm going back for my sister's 75th birthday in December. So there'll probably be about 30 members of my family to go to her birthday.
Wow.
It's a surprise, too.
Oh, well, I hope she's not listening to this.
Well, she lives in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales, so do you get that far?
Okay, so if you're in that area, please don't tell Phil's sister.
No, don't tell Christine. No, it's a surprise. Yeah.
What about you, Catherine?
Well, I can say that I live in Dunedin, and I've been at GROW for quite a few years. So I do know, I guess I do know a fair bit about it. I'm not really one for talking much in this sort of setting, so I don't think I can say a lot, really, but I'll just contribute what I can.
And it's great that you're here. Thank you. Corinne, you mentioned that you're from Auckland. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I lived there from birth basically till probably 4 years ago. But my parents were actually going back. My parents were actually missionaries and they met in the Solomon Islands and they came here and they got married and came here and basically, we grew up in Auckland. So Auckland's probably part of my life up there, and I have a stepmum that is also up there, and her children and my nieces and nephews. So I try and get up there as much as I can, go and visit them.
It's good that you have family up north.
Yeah. It's very different to here, though. It's, very different lifestyle to Dunedin, of course. Dunedin's a little bit more small and the community is a little bit, we're just a little bit more connected, I think.
It would be really cool to hear your experiences in Dunedin, all of you really, because I think, we're going to talk about mental health and I think community is such an integral part of that. And seeing you guys being part of GROW, I'm sure you've do find community within that group.
Yes,
but
yeah.
How do you feel about Otipoti?
I love Otipoti. I struggled a little bit, just being isolated and not, because I don't work at the moment because I have a few health issues. So I guess I was feeling a bit isolated before I found Grow. And Grow, I felt really comfortable there. It was a comfortable space to talk about things. And I made friends and, you know, it was a caring, supportive group. And that's what I needed. And it's just really helped with my mental health and just coming together and just supporting each other. So, yeah.
And we'll definitely talk more into how you came into Grow and how it's helping you. But I wonder if you can tell us what other communities you are a part of here.
Sure. So at the moment, I am a rep for the Solomon Island One Talks or Dunedin One Talks community, which is basically three communities, Solomon Island, New Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea. And I'm on the board for Pacific Trust Otago, so I sit on the board and I represent them and I go to meetings and I go to events and just being that in that space and being noticed and seen has been really, really good as well. And it's also the connections within that, within the communities and getting to know other communities. It's just been really, really good. Yeah, I've really enjoyed being a representative and, yeah, just meeting everybody and, yeah.
Sounds like you have a lot going on as well with different hats to wear.
Oh, yes, definitely. It definitely keeps me out of trouble. But, no, I really, really enjoy it. It's hard work. It's hard work supporting all three communities, but we've got other three representatives that also support me. So we're all just working together and just trying to make our community, you know, work and support and each other. And yeah, so it's been really, really great.
That's a good point. You know, you are supporting your communities, but you also have people who are supporting you, and I think that's very important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yep.
Phil, I heard you are a musician.
Yes. Yes, I've been writing songs since 1981, so it's about 44 years, and I'm a member of the Dunedin Folk Club, which is the most active folk club in the world. We have a Thursday night, which I run. And we have a Sunday night, which is a guest night and a more formal night. And with the music, it's been something I've loved doing. I was writing songs right back when I was about 4 years old. And I just have a facility with words. And I would say that I like to write useful songs, songs that help people and that people enjoy. And I would also say it's been a large part of keeping me stable and like a psychiatrist would call it externalizing. A lot comes from digging around in my subconscious. So you're putting words on paper that explain it could be to do with me, or it could be, I've written a song called The Wheelchair Man, which is a song about a busker. I've written a song about Earnscliw Road, which is an orcharding area in central Otago. There's about 200 songs, so
wow.
I won't go through all of them.
Yeah, but they sound really meaningful to you.
Oh, yes, very much so. And the greatest compliments I've ever had is when people come up to me and say, I really like that song. A couple of people, I did a song called The Actor, which was a very intense song. And two different people at two different parties came up and said to me, thanks for writing that song. And that's about the biggest reward you can get. Yeah.
When people can relate to your words as well as your music, I think that's pretty special.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I also like to write a song where you can read it on a page and get something out of it. So like Wang's song, brown leaves on the ground all through the valley, bare orchards stretch to the hills. Faded night turns to night. Faded light turns to night in a moment. The day has been perfectly still. So I'm looking for the poetic in a lot of my songs.
Mm,
yeah, good lyrics, like a lot of well-known people like Joni Mitchell. I don't know if you know Joni Mitchell. No? Oh, check her out. You would have heard of Bob Dylan, yeah, and you would have heard of the Beatles, but you probably don't know about the Kinks or the Animals or the Birds or... Yeah. Are there any of those other names familiar to you?
No, just those, the first two, the second two that you said.
Yeah. It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
But I think you might enjoy Joni Mitchell. She's still alive. Yeah.
What's your process with writing music? How has that been helping you?
It's based on emotions, feelings, and it's an exploration. So I might not necessarily know what I'm writing about. And then it's a creative process, and I just have A4 sheets. I used to have books, but I find A4 sheets easier, photocopy paper, and I just start writing. So the song I've just written is called Saturday Afternoon, which is about the concerts we have in Botanic Gardens in February. And how it's a very joyful time. Music can really bring people together and spread joy or whatever. So I won't go into the process too much. It would take too long. But I would say that it's just digging around all over the place, and I make connections all over the place. So, that song starts, there's summer heat way down south bringing the people out to music in the park and so on. I can't remember it as well as the older songs because I only finished writing it 2 days ago.
I love how your brain works then.
Oh, yeah, it's all connections.
Yeah.
And there's lines that come to me, like there was a line, I see you by the water, casting your net wide, I see you by the water trying to read the tide. And I went, oh, what's that line about? I go, just trust it. And this is in the process of writing a song. That was in the first verse. So you've got to trust a lot of that stuff that just comes. Mm. And it made perfect sense once I wrote the rest of the song. So, yeah.
Oh, so you're part of the folk club. You write music. What other communities are you a part of?
Well, I earn my living by painting houses. I was up painting this morning. I've come in for this interview with Corinne and Catherine. And I've been an era modeler since I was about 13. Yeah. So building model airplanes, designing them. And
that's really cool. What a cool job.
Yeah. Oh, with the painting?
both actually, just the airplanes as well.
Yeah. It teaches you a lot of skills, aero modeling. A lot of people don't build now, they just buy them. So it's in the sped up world, people don't have the inclination or the time. It's a slow process.
Yeah. Mm. Tell us more about what that's like for you then building model airplanes. And I love how you relate it to, now when things are more fast-paced, people just don't have the patience anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to know about the building process or what is it you want to know?
Maybe why it was important then to you.
Oh, okay. I was sort of quite addictive growing up, and I went for things that make me happy. And I had jobs since I was 7 years old. I went caddying to make money to buy a push bike. But also I always had money for lollies, And I realized, looking back, they were dopamine hits. I needed dopamine. And with aerial modeling, I was quite obsessive, as I am with songwriting and a lot of other things. And it was something I could immerse myself in. And I had two friends up in Central Otago, where I lived at the time, who were building model aeroplanes as well. We used to fly at the airport. And it was something that took me away from my own sort of difficulties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a totally absorbing thing for me. Yeah.
And I'm glad you did found a healthy hobby, because for some people they do struggle with, you know, finding what's working for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was always searching for something that's going to make me happy, something that was meaningful. I still fly, and I fly quite often in Hancock Park. I've got little gliders made of balsa that a catapult launched, and I go out there. It's to just get away from work, and just I meet a lot of people walking dogs, and a lot of people coming over from the camping ground next door.
Mm.
So it's pure having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, having fun is very important in life. So
yes, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got our serious stuff to deal with, but we need lighter stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Talking about having fun, Catherine, I wonder if you can tell us what makes you happy.
I suppose that would be gardening.
Gardening?
Gardening.
Yay!
So I do spend a bit of time at a place out in South Dunedin, which is a kind of a support service. But I do a lot of vegetable growing. So that keeps me pretty much occupied, probably at least three days a week.
Keeps you busy, eh?
It does. There's a lot involved in actually growing things.
Now that it's getting warmer, is there anything you're excited to grow?
Well, I've actually already planted, I think it's broccoli and collie seedlings, and lettuce, and I think there was one other, silver beet.
Mm.
But there's quite a lot of other things that can be grown as well. That you've got to make sure that your soil has got plenty of organic matter. Otherwise, things aren't going to grow. Because just like people, plants need food and they need a healthy environment. Plus, I find it quite good to put in flowers and herbs because they create a more diverse environment. And of course, they attract the bees and various insects that do good. Gobble up the pests. But there's a lot to learn, and I don't think you ever finish learning. So it's quite an absorbing hobby, and of course you get something at the end of it. Something to pick, something to eat, something to cook with. So it's practical, but it's creative, and you can get into the science of it if you want to, but yeah, you don't have to do that.
Mm.
But it's just quite interesting to find out. So, yeah, it's quite absorbing, and it's a way to get close to nature and get to know the rest of your surroundings and the way that we as humans are just a part of the whole natural world. So, yeah, it is quite soothing to me, which is good because I'm a kind of a high anxiety person and things like that can be very calming.
Mm.
Yes, so that's my main interest.
Yeah, I can imagine how calming it is to have soil in your hands and you just feel really grounded with nature. Because just thinking about like how I grew up, I used to be so scared of touching soil. But now living here in New Zealand, it's just such a normal thing. And you do feel closer to nature, and that's helping your well-being.
Oh, it is, definitely. Yes, it's a big part of trying to keep as well as I can, because you get quite absorbed when you start getting into the garden. There's so much to do and to think about and physical activity. Yeah, it's just a really good way to feel better.
Mm. Do you have any favourite memories of your time gardening, especially in South Dunedin that you mentioned?
Well, I quite like planting things out, and even seed raising. Seed raising is it's a bit of a challenging thing, but it can be quite rewarding when you pop your seeds in and a bit of seed raising mix, and then you watch them grow, and it takes a wee while, and sometimes some of them don't come up or you don't get many coming up, but it's all a learning experience, and you just learn to accept that sometimes things will work and sometimes they won't. But like life. Yeah. So that's the fascinating thing, really, is watching things grow. And then, of course, you get to pick them, and you can put them into various salads or cooked dishes, and that's another aspect of being creative, I think. They're kind of both creative in their own way, cooking, gardening, that type of thing. And I have actually got a garden diary where I write in what I do in the garden, because I've got a little garden at home as well. So I write in everything that I do, what happens, what works and what doesn't work. And then I usually get pictures from old gardening magazines, and I paste them in, try to be a bit creative there, so you can go back and look, see what you've done.
Wow. When did you start writing the diary?
That was actually right about the time of COVID.
Oh.
So that would be about 2020.
So 5 years worth of... You know, just entries about the things you grow.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a lot of pictures in those diaries. But it's a good way to be creative. And then you've got a record of what you've actually done, which you look back on. Yeah. So that's good.
That is a treasure. You better keep that diary safe.
Yeah. I've actually got about four of them now. There's probably about one per year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is quite absorbing.
I love how on theme the conversations we're having, because we're all talking about things that is helping our mental health and well-being, and we all of us have different ways of doing that. Just hearing Catherine with gardening, you through your music, and Corinne through serving the community and also having people around you. Mm. Let's talk about how you all get involved with GROW in the first place, and what did it feel like to go to your first meeting?
So I came to Dunedin about 2022, and because I wasn't working, I was at home pretty much every day by myself in a big house while everyone was out working. So I found that I was quite isolated, and I guess just settling into Dunedin as like a new place to live, it was took me a little bit of time. And then I went to get some counselling or something else, and I actually went on the web and I found GROW on the web. And I didn't initially go straight away. It took me, I must be honest, it took me about 3 goes to get there. I'm also quite an anxious person in myself, so I found that going somewhere new, just people that I didn't know, quite daunting. So I did get there in the end. And the first time I came there, it was, they were just so welcoming, and I just felt comfort straight away. I did go to the first one, and then the second one, and the third one. And gradually, at the meetings, you know, you're encouraged. You don't have to talk straight away. You can just sit back and listen and be in the meeting and just not have to share. So it probably took me a few weeks before I actually shared something of myself. And eventually, yeah, I was able to lead a meeting. Because we're all leaders. We're all leaders in our group. We don't have any... We're all volunteers that come together. So we don't... we don't have necessarily any, like we're all leaders and we're all encouraged to participate or be involved in some way. So only a few months ago, a few of the members asked me to be an organiser. So that was quite daunting to me. I'm slowly learning more about it. It's got a lot to do with promoting GROW, and that's why we've been kind of been really trying to promote GROW and just get it out there so more people know about it. Mm. 'Cause not many people know about GROW. So yeah, that's pretty much how I got into GROW.
Yeah. I love how you shared, you know, it took you 3 times to actually go to the first meeting.
Yes,
yep. And now, you know, here you are talking about it on radio.
Yes.
I think that is a very big
thank
growth.
You.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of us as well, because we've also promoted a lot. A few times we've gone to Open Polytechnic and we've been part of their Mental Health Awareness Week, where we've been, you know, at our table and we've had all the... the books and things that trying to promote it in that space. And then also we've been to Stepping Stones and other organisations just trying to promote it as well. So it's we've come out of our comfort zones, if you want to. And hasn't been easy, but I think we've done so well.
What about you, Phil? Tell us about how you first got involved with GROW.
I'll go right back to the start. I was in trouble right from the start. My mother said when I was born, I cried for a year and then I got pneumonia. Now, I'll just tell you a little story very briefly. There's a guy called Dr. Gabor Mauti, Canadian, who's an addiction expert, who was born during the Second World War, and he was in Hungary, I think. He was from a Jewish family, and the Nazis had invaded, I think it was Hungary. I'm not sure of the country. That doesn't matter. The point is that when he was born, he couldn't stop crying. Now, that was my case too. So his mother rang the doctor, a Jewish doctor, and she said, "I can't stop Gaber from crying. I don't know what's wrong." And he said, "All the Jewish babies are crying." And what was happening was the Nazis were coming in and taking away the Jews. So his mother was going through this trauma, which was passed on to Gaber in the womb. Now, my parents, my mother survived the Blitz. She was in the RAF, Royal Air Force, in Liverpool. And my dad was 4 years in a military hospital. They were both World War II veterans. And I think my start is linked to that. And I was a very nervous person. I couldn't be around people. Everything, in a lot of ways, freaked me out. But to cut a long story short, I had that right from the start. Depression right from when I was 10 years old. And when I was 23, it got really problematic, and that's the first time I went into the health system. And so I've been through a cycle of depressions over the course of my life, which is something that it's been a lot, a large part of my life's work. I had a really severe depression in 2022, and the first thing I do when I get depressed is I buy a diary and I write down what's happening, and I go to my GP, and I was referred to the older, the mental health services for older people, which is in our hospital, and I got excellent reception there, and I won't go into that too much. But after that year, I was looking around for a group to join, and it was GROW. And from when I walked into the room, I felt at home. And it's a case of being with people that have known great adversity, and they're straight up, and straight away I felt a kinship. And in our meetings, we go into nitty-gritties and we work to a program, and there's a GROW book full of wisdom, and that's how I started to GROW. It's one of my coping strategies, to stay, to understand my moods, to understand how to work with depression. It's something that requires a lot of work.
Sounds like I really like when you said that, you know, when you realize that you are getting depression, you buy a diary and you go to your GP. And I think the fact that you know those are the healthy steps to take, and I think not a lot of people do that.
I've struggled with depression pretty much all my life, so I've learnt lots of strategies. And what I would say, anything that comes to you in life, it's life's work. It's not to be avoided, it's to be worked on, and it's to become a wiser person and a more, effective person. It's a personal thing, of course. You're trying to live the best life you can, regardless of what happens in your life. I had two friends that would never face it. They just wanted to go away. I visited a friend in hospital, and he'd been put in there for very good reasons. He'd been committed. And I went into his room, and he said, "Oh, Phil, can you get me out of here? You're just going to keep going around in circles. You have to deal with it."
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So you've been part of Grove for 3 years now.
I think it's about 3 years, yeah.
How does it feel? How do you feel about being part of Grove from now, from then?
It's a bit like another family. And there's a lot of wisdom in this group. And people do have wisdom. If you live for a while, you've got wisdom. And something that I might not know, somebody else may know, and vice versa. So it's very much a self-help group, but it's a mutual helping of one another.
And the fact that you all trust each other and comfortable enough to open up, I think that's very important.
Yeah, it's one of the affirmations that we read every week. We trust one another is one of the affirmations. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we love one another. What's the third one? I've forgotten, Corinne.
Here we go. I'll have to look in my book. That's the thing. I'm not very good with memory, so I have to kind of – I really – you might see in my book, I've got a lot of post-it notes, and that's just so that I can find things in my book. But I think it's love one another, trust one another. I think it starts believing. One another.
That's right. Yeah.
I should have asked Catherine because Catherine knows the book very well.
We worked through a program, and it's all in that book. And we have several books for different purposes, and we use about three books during a meeting. The meetings last 2 hours.
I'm really interested to hear more about the 12-step. Program, and we'll get into that because I also love that you brought all your books with us today.
I'm naturally curious. Where do you come from, Arena?
I'm from Malaysia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You've come a long way.
Yeah. My family came here in 2010 when my dad was a student and he brought his whole family here. Yeah, we're all here now. It's a beautiful place to be, so I do feel connected with the community here.
It's a great city.
Thank you for asking as well. Catherine, can you tell us about how you got involved with Grow?
It was quite a few years ago that I came across Grow because I wasn't very well at the time, and somebody else that I knew, they told me about it and brought me to the group for the first session. So I ended up staying on because I was probably fairly isolated and needed a group of people to be with. It's like I grew up sort of spending a lot of time on my own because that was easier than coping with people, because people were scary to me. I think it's an anxiety thing, sort of social anxiety, something like that. But I was a hard worker, and I did sort of fairly well at school. But that was probably the main thing that I spent my time on. So I sort of didn't have much outside of that. So I didn't have much social connection. And I wasn't really closely connected to anybody in my family. So when the time came to get a job, I found that very difficult and had a breakdown. I think it must have been about 19 or 20 or something like that. But I probably found it difficult to cooperate with help because I was pretty independent. I thought I should be doing it all on my own. You know, I don't need anyone. We don't need anyone. I wasn't used to depending on anyone for anything much, except for the practical needs of life. So there was a completely new and very scary concept. So I did actually see a psychologist for a while after that. And then after a while, I think I got an office job, but it was only supposed to be for a year, but I stayed on for about, you know, a few years after. I still wasn't communicating very well. So I probably didn't do as good a job as I could. But anyway, eventually I left and entered the mental health system and started doing a few courses like horticulture and office systems at Polytech and things like that. But eventually that was about the time I came across Grow. And I've been there ever since because it offers companionship and support. People get to know each other fairly well.
Mm.
And learn quite a lot about how to live your life productively and in a beneficial way that I didn't know about before that. It's like there's pieces of program that really strike each person, I think, pretty well, because that's the sort of thing that they have trouble coping with, and that's how they end up sort of having a breakdown or needing help. So I found in Grow that it gave me that foundation for living life in, as we say, a more mature way. But you can call it other things, like it's beneficial or it's helpful or it helps you to get on a steady path whereby you're not always in strife or stressed out too much, or it's a good path to follow to help you get on the right track.
Mm.
Yeah. So without Grow, I mean, I'd still be completely stuffed up. But once I came to Grow and learned a bit about it, I could see that it had things in it that were showing me how to behave in a way that was helpful to me and other people, and I'm still working on it. And I actually have been to see a psychotherapist as well to look into things a bit deeper, and that's been helpful. But it was Grow that kind of helped me to get into that, because I was too scared to actually go into something like that. It's quite scary. Everything always seemed quite scary to me when I was growing up. So, yeah, a bit of the Grow program helped with that. Like, can't remember exactly what it was. It's something like do the ordinary thing you fear, or the thing that puts you off or repels you is what it says in the book. But it's just like if it's an ordinary thing, yes, you can do it with a bit of support from your group members. So, yeah, it's very good guidance for people who are in trouble. Yeah.
You said that humans are scary.
Yeah.
When you're within your grow group, do you still feel that way?
Probably to some degree, because I still have that certain amount of restraint. But we get to know each other reasonably well. So, yeah, that is the good bit.
Less scarier.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about the program, so I do want to hear more about the 12-step program, if one of you wants to start talking about it.
So the 12-step recovery program is basically the first one is we admitted we had lost our way and needed help. So I guess someone who is in mental distress needs to admit that they need help, and they need to obviously need help and support. I don't know if I'm really explaining this very well.
Feel free to jump on.
Yeah. It's the first step with any problem,
yes,
to admit that you've got a problem. And that is a big step. And a lot of people don't take that step. I've got a friend who's an alcoholic, but he doesn't admit he's an alcoholic. He said an alcoholic is a person that doesn't get up in the morning and go to work. Well, he goes to work every morning, but he's been an alcoholic since he was a teenager. He won't accept it.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's the nicest alcoholic I've ever known. He's extremely funny. he's a bright guy, but that first step is just so important.
Mm. Yeah. So that's the first step that we kind of look at. The second step is we firmly resolve to get well and cooperated with help that we needed. So I guess that's getting the help that we need and want to get help, I guess. Is that kind of what you guys think?
Yeah, it's one of my strategies. When I was 23, I didn't like asking for help, but I knew that I needed that help. So it's a question of being humble, I suppose. And it's part of – you've already admitted that you've got a problem and you can't do it by yourself, but nobody does it by themselves in this life.
So it's about accepting help from other people.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I guess too, listening to, because for me, coming into Grow and only being in for like a year, you know, Catherine and our other members of group have so much knowledge about Grow that, you know, they have really good like strategies, because we work on strategies with a lot of our books and have a lot of personal stories are now in the stories. And, you know, there's people that have already been there and can help you through it. So I really rely on the others because they do have a lot of knowledge. So personally, that's how I think that number two is kind of, you know, you are really kind of, need that support from the others to get me where I am, or to get me better, I guess. I was also going to say that Catherine's quite humble because she's also part of the national team for Grow. So she gets together with the other members of Grow from Auckland and other areas, and they talk about basically what's going on and the constitution, which we're doing in a few weeks over Zoom. So we've all got little kind of talents and strengths that we can kind of contribute, and yeah, which I think is really great because there's not a hierarchical aspect of it.
Yeah, one early affirmation had a line: "Our lives up until now have not been wholly bad,
wholly good, nor wholly bad."
What is it?
Our lives up to now have not been wholly good nor wholly bad.
Yeah. And that really struck me because I thought, well, there was so-called bad stuff, but there was good stuff as well. Mm. And it's a very simple statement, but it, for some reason it really I identified with it. Yeah, it was a very simple statement that went, well, my life hasn't been wholly bad. Yeah. But that goes through anybody's life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was something about that was really like a revelation. Yeah.
Because when people are struggling, they tend to only focus on the bad things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the thing with depression. It's especially dangerous for young people because it hits them very hard. And they see the past as being black and they don't see any future.
We tackled our weaknesses and failures, and I guess that's looking at all the things that we kind of go through. Every week we're given a chance to talk about how we're going and whether we have any problems that we need to address or we want to address to the group and anything that we need help with. And that's a really good part of the meeting. We were able to do that and people are able to give us support and, you know, suggest things like strategies that we might not have thought of or just being able to, I guess, work on them with the group and, with support.
Yeah, so, we worked to a written method.
Method, yeah.
Follow that every week. We stick to that every week.
Mm. It's good. So, it keeps you accountable. So
yes,
you've got
absolutely
a checklist.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a section current problem solving. So if somebody say, "Well, I'm having trouble with whatever it is," and then if people think they have something relevant to say, they can suggest a way to deal with that problem.
Mm.
So it is sort of like a challenge, and it does sort of, well, I know with myself it makes me feel accountable, because I want to come back next week and we have a, you know, what's your progress this week? That's part of the method, that we work to. So you've got to say, well, that problem I had, I've been doing this or that or whatever it is.
Mental health is, we've got so much further to go, but, there's so much change that has happened that makes the stigma, less, it's more acceptable. Mm. And,
it's become more vital too in today's world.
Absolutely. Mm.
This is such a perfect conversation to have with the Mental Health Awareness Week happening next week.
Yes.
I wish we had time to go through the rest of the steps, but I guess people will just need to find out more about GIRL to learn more. So can you please give us some information on how people can learn more about your group and where people can find you?
Sure. So we're on the web. We're www.grow.org.nz, and we actually meet every Monday night at 22 Mance Street, M-A-N-S-E Street, and it's from 5:30 to 7:30. We come together, and it's a two-hour meeting, and it's free. You don't need to pay anything. We do accept donations, but you can just come and talk and check it out. Don't have to talk. You can just sit back and see how the meetings kind of run. And
Can come in.
Anyone can come.
Come in, just turn up.
From 18 onwards.
But what's the phone number?
Well, you can contact me if you have any inquiries. My number is 021-084-55979, and my name's Kareen. If you want to know any more info about GROW, our GROW group.
We do have a national GROW website
yeah.
which is, I think it's grow.org.nz, but anyway, it's GROW New Zealand Incorporated is our national office up in Auckland. So grow.org.nz.
Well, thank you very much, all of you, for coming here to talk about GROW. And I think it's a really good time to be talking about our mental health and just checking in on how we're feeling. Yeah, just the highlight of all of this is just getting to know all of you. We'll see you again next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Arena.
Thank you, Arena, for giving us the space to talk about it.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Cultures Features on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.